Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We appreciate you listening to this program and to AFR. We have 184 stations across the good old U.S. of A. So we really are American Family Radio. Then we have thousands and thousands of people who listen on our app, on your iPhone or iPad or similar device, your smartphone. You can listen anywhere in the world, clear as a bell, on your app, on your phone, if you'd like to do that. All you need is high-speed internet service. Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be on the show today.
Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
We are here.
And Dr. Ray is on with us from Kansas City.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Good morning, Ray. Good to have you co-hosting with us. It was a close call there, was it?
Oh, man, I was, pro tip. If you're going to move the furniture, check the internet connections first.
Yeah.
And I didn't bother to do that, right? And mm-hmm. so 12 minutes ago, I was on my hands and knees, plugging things desperately here and there until by some miracle of the Lord, it all worked.
And you're 6'4", right?
I know. Yes, I am. And I was on my hands and knees praying out to the Lord and plugging stuff in desperately.
Even though it maybe didn't need to be plugged in.
That's right. Just keep plugging stuff in until something happens.
Something works.
That's right.
And you got it back up.
That's right. Here we are.
The internet came back on. All right. A lot of stuff to talk about today. First of all, some good news, mm-hmm. Fred, Ray, and Walker. Yesterday, I think it was yesterday, we had Rob Chambers on.
Yes, yesterday.
Was it yesterday?
That's right.
The days start running together. Yesterday, we had Rob on and Philip, I can't pronounce his last name, starts with a J. Anyway, we were talking about
Jiragi or something to that extent.
Mm-hmm. Right. Something to that extent. That's about what I said.
You didn't say anything.
I know, but you made us. What you would have done better right there, Walker, is just to say the name.
Yeah.
Don't put in something to that extent because none of us know.
That's correct, right.
Nor do our listeners.
So I should have just acted like I knew it.
That's right. That's my point, and move on. So Philip, whatever Walker said.
Yeah, I was right. That's his name.
And Rob from our staff here. Anyway, Rob tracks this for us. That is the judges, federal judges. In the United States Senate, they had this 30-hour, was it 30 hours, Walker?
That's right.
30-hour rule. This nutty, crazy rule that they had to debate each nominee of the president for a federal judgeship for 30 hours. Of course, the Senate, as they always do, they don't really debate anything for 30 hours. It's kind of like the filibuster. They just say, sign me up for 30 hours of debate, in quotations. And then they never actually do that. Mm-hmm. So basically what the Democrats were doing were just stalling, bogging down, basically time blocking every nominee from the president. And it's his constitutional authority, as we all know, as it was President Obama's and every president, doesn't matter, Democrat or Republican, to appoint federal judges, including Supreme Court justices. Whether the Senate confirms them or not is another matter, but the president, whoever he may be, has the constitutional right to appoint. So President Trump's been appointing, and this has not been done before, not to this extent. The Democrats have just been blocking everything, basically, with this 30-hour rule. Well, that was changed yesterday in committee. Now, it's still got to go before the full Senate. But it was changed in committee, praise the Lord, by one vote, I think. All the Republicans voted to change the rule to reduce it to 2 hours, Fred?
Reduce it to 2 hours.
2 hours.
For district judges.
Well, that's a start.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the Republican senators finally got off their duffs and did something about this. This has been very frustrating. for a lot of people. I know for the president it has. So the first step has been made to expedite the situation, to correct the situation, to make this right, mm-hmm. So that the president can get his judges voted on. And most all of them will be passed. What the Democrats don't like is he's appointing conservative federal judges. Mm-hmm. They hate that. They want liberal, quote, progressive judges only. They've been taking over the country with the federal court system, and they want to continue that. And so this is good news. Now, this will have to be voted on the full Senate. What's the next step on this, Walker?
The next step is for Senator Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, to bring this up on the Senate floor for a vote.
Will he?
For the full chamber.
He will, won't he?
Well, he will, but the question is, will it pass? Because there's two ways for this to pass. The first way is 60 votes.
That ain't happening.
Right. We all know that's not happening.
I can use ain't that. Right,
so
right there.
The other option is to go, quote, nuclear, which is basically using a 51-vote measure. Which even then, I'm not sure it would pass. The reason I say that is Senator John McCain is in Arizona, has not been in Washington, D.C. for a vote in over 6 months, but he still holds the seat. Senator Susan Collins, I believe, of Maine, has already said, no, we're not changing the rules.
She's a
Republican. Yeah, said, I don't think we need to change the rules. We need to keep things going slow like they are. And those are my words, but she phrases it in a different way. And so that leaves you with 49 Republicans and you need 51.
Well, Manchin from West Virginia has been voting with the president a lot, and he may pick up another one or two. That's when I really hurt losing Jeff Sessions' seat.
Does it require a vote? If they want to move from the 50 to the nuclear option, can McConnell just say that, or does that also require a vote?
It requires 51 votes to go quote nuclear. So, but if you have the support for the bill, then you have the support for going nuclear. If that makes sense,
sure.
It's just a double vote. But it can be done, and I think if Senator McConnell's not going to bring up a bill that he knows will die, because it's embarrassing to bring up a bill on the floor and then it be voted down. So I think if he signals that he's going to bring this up for a vote, it's because he probably has a couple of Democrats who will vote for it.
When is it going to come up?
We're not sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the good news is the first step's been taken. We asked people to call. It worked.
That's right.
And we got some movement here. And hopefully it will continue. Hopefully we'll know. Walker can learn, can find out maybe before the show's over what the next step is, when the full Senate will vote on this. And what is it like? You just sort of laid it out for us. It's going to be very, very close. But and I'm sure, as you say, Mitch McConnell will probably wait till he has the votes. Hopefully he'll have the votes. Extremely narrow margin in the Senate. Is it 51-49? What is that?
Okay. That's right.
All right, Fred, I kind of stole your thunder on that. I know you had one of these as your stories you wanted to discuss, but still.
It's a good follow to yesterday.
I wanted to inform people who called and helped us out. Mm-hmm. It worked.
Yep.
And we're moving on to the next step, because we've got to get these judges that President Trump appoints confirmed.
Well, and we need to keep reminding folks that when Senator Harry Reid, was the Senate Majority Leader with the Democrats in control of Congress, he used the nuclear option. He didn't have any problem with that. And all the Democrats were on board with him, so they went to the 50-vote rule. You know,
here Republicans play this Mr. Nice Guy stuff, and it just kills me.
Yeah.
I mean, it just kills me. I mean, I'm not for being, you know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
The Democrats play hardball. The Republicans play gentlemen.
Or you could just say another way, Tim, they play politics better than the Republicans do.
I mean,
it's a hardball game, right?
Yeah.
And so Chuck Schumer, I mean, give them that much credit. I mean, ruefully give them credit. They play the game better than Mitch McConnell and the Republicans do. Because what would Chuck Schumer do in this situation? He would pull the trigger on the nuclear, and he wouldn't hesitate.
No,
and the Democrats would join him. He would have opposition amongst his own party members.
Right.
This is what kills me. The Susan Collins of this world, it just...
Right.
I mean, why don't you just become a Democrat?
Right.
Yeah. Susan Collins has opposed this president on just about everything he wants to do.
Republican from Maine. She's a rhino.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. What else you got?
Well, let's talk about Dr. Ronnie Jackson, also Rear Admiral Ronnie Jackson. He has been the physician to President Barack Obama. He was for 8 years. He has been President Trump's physician. President Trump nominated him to head up the VA. And when he was President Trump's physician, nobody, only accolades.
You mean President Obama?
Oh, President Obama even wrote kind of a job assessment. This guy's doing a great job. Wonderful job.
As my doctor. Okay.
President Trump nominates him to head the VA, and all the knives came out over the last 2 or 3 days. He's the allegation from John Tester from Montana, Democrat, has kind of led the fight on this. He says he's heard from people who say Dr. Ronnie Jackson has a drinking problem. And then there have been allegations that he passes out prescription drugs like candy. And there was this report out there. He has a nickname called the Candy Man. So on and on the allegations go. Well, this morning, Dr. Ronnie Jackson basically said, I had enough of this. He says, quoting here in a tweet this morning, the allegations against me are completely false and fabricated. If they had any merit, I would not have been selected, promoted, and entrusted to serve in such a sensitive and important role as physician to 3 presidents over the past 12 years. He was also President George W. Bush's physician during that period. So this morning he withdraws his name. This was another campaign against a President Trump nominee. Among the other things that were said by the Democrats was that, well, he doesn't have a lot of experience in management. President Trump was talking about this morning. President Trump did a half-hour interview with Fox and Friends. He gets on the phone this morning from the White House, talks to Fox and Friends for a half hour. My experience, I've never heard a president doing that. One of the questions he was asked about the withdrawal of Dr. Ronnie Jackson as the president's nominee to head the VA. Cut number 2.
Doc Ronnie, we call him Doc Ronnie, we call him Admiral Ronnie. He's an admiral, highly respected, a real leader. And I watched what John Tester of Montana, a state that I won by like over 20 points, they love me and I love them. And I want to tell you that John Tester, I think this is going to cause him a lot of problems in his state. He took a man who was just an incredible man, respected by President Obama, gave him his highest rating. You saw what President Obama said. Yep. President Bush.
There you have it. And sorry, he was just saying what I was saying a moment ago. Dr. Ronnie Jackson, Rear Admiral Jackson, given the highest ratings by President George W. Bush, by President Obama, President Trump, he gets nominated to head the VA, and all of a sudden there's these allegations that come out of the woodwork, unproven. You heard what Dr. Ronnie Jackson said this morning. All the allegations are false.
Right?
The thing so troubling about this is that nobody questions that he's a great doctor. Mm-hmm. And you don't get to that position without being not just a gifted physician, but a great leader and a great manager of resources. If the argument was being made he's not qualified, that's one thing. But it is scurrilous. It is detestable to think that an honorable man is scuttled because of unproven allegations about drunkenness, drinking problem. I mean, for Senator Tester to say he had heard these allegations, mm-hmm. Well, it stinks to high heaven to see a good man being treated this way.
Yeah, that's right, Ray. And this along the same lines is that's why I resist so much folks stepping aside based on false or unproven allegations, because unless they admit to them, because it leads down this road of all you need to do is accuse someone of some salacious activity.
Yeah, he shouldn't have pulled out.
And then pulling out to me is a sign of
don't
guilt.
Accept.
Right.
Don't accept in the first place if you're going to pull out the first sign of criticism.
Right.
And I do think, right, to Ray's point and to President Trump's point, it's sounds to me like it's Bray used the word scurrilous. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a smear campaign, unproven rumors that they're just floating those out there for the public.
Mm-hmm.
He's denied them, right?
Yes.
And he's been a doctor commended by, he's been the personal physician for President Bush. Is that what he said?
President Bush.
President Bush, President Obama, and now President Trump. And all of a sudden, when he gets with President Trump, does it become a problem? Of course, he wants to be appointed to the
VA.
To oversee the VA. This sounds like and looks like the same old everyday opposition to President Trump, no matter what he does, who he nominates for any position. They're just the Democrats are resisting because here's why they do this. They do this because they hope to damage. It's like two battleships out in the, and the Democrats just keep firing,
mm-hmm.
and they're hoping to sink the ship.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know which cannonball is going to do it, so they just keep firing and trying to make indentions or go through the hull. I just thought of that up on my own. That's pretty
that
cool.
Was brilliant.
Good. Good. Well,
here's the other element to this story. Is that Dr. Ronny Jackson's hearing, Senate hearing, was supposed to start a couple of days ago. But the Republicans joined the Democrats in saying, wait a minute, you know, we don't think the White House did a good job on vetting Dr. Jackson. So we're just, the Republicans control these committees. All right.
Is this the Senate?
This is the Senate. So the Republicans kind of join in, all right, we better investigate these allegations, and they postpone this.
Well, now, I will say this. That is a serious issue. If you are a candy
mm-hmm.
doctor, so to speak, or if you're handing out opioids, is that what he's accused of?
It's prescription drugs of some type.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's not something to ignore,
mm-hmm.
but you got to have some proof. You know,
well, wouldn't it have come out? I mean,
yeah.
You've been doing this
over
for
these 10, years?
Yes. Over all these, how would it not
12
have come
years,
out?
12 years, yeah. He's been the physician to the President of the United States.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden,
yeah.
people
yeah.
are accusing him
I'll
of
tell
these
you what,
crazy things.
There's a lot of money wrapped up in the VA,
mm-hmm.
millions upon millions, or probably billions. And there's a lot of powerful people. And they probably were fearful that Jackson was going to come in there and clean house, fix things, make things more efficient.
Because he knows the military.
Right.
He's a rear admiral.
Right. And that people will do smear campaigns if it means keeping the status quo.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, and Dr. Ray Pritchard. We thank you for listening. You can send us an email if you'd like to. At comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. And Walker, you got your Exposing Washington show this weekend?
Yes, this weekend at 2:30 p.m. Central, this Saturday afternoon. We'll be talking about all the things going on in Washington. Specifically, we're going to talk about all of the recent cases that were heard at the Supreme Court, the travel restrictions case, the Colorado Baker case. Talk about all those details and what they mean, and then how I think or hope the outcome will be.
Now, speaking, you just mentioned the travel. I call it the travel restriction case.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's accurate.
Like people like to call it the travel ban case. Now, what we're talking about is the president's desire to do more careful vetting of people coming into this country. Now, we know the lower courts, we've had a number of decisions saying the only reason he wants to do this is because he's anti-Muslim. All mm-hmm. right, so we had all these lower court cases. Went to the Supreme Court for arguments yesterday. The President of the United States has the constitutional right to determine what kind of restrictions are put in place for people who want to come to this country as refugees and as immigrants. All right, out of concern for national security, President Trump wanted to put in place some heightened restrictions from people coming from countries that might be known to sponsor terrorism. All right. So these courts have been working at these. This case has been working its way through the various courts. Yesterday, the Supreme Court heard arguments, and our news department talked with John Malcolm, the senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, and was interviewed by Chris, and he talked about and others have joined him in being optimistic about how the court is going to likely rule, they say, in favor of President Trump. Cut one.
I'm thinking 5-4, maybe 6-3 if Justice Kagan joins the conservatives. Kagan appeared to be very, very open to arguments on both sides. He was very concerned about the statements that the president has made and giving a president such broad discretion that he could hide racial animus behind or religious animus behind some kind of a proclamation. But she was also very, very concerned about courts, which don't receive classified briefings on a daily basis, sort of looking behind presidential orders and making national security decisions.
Now, you remember the left, as I said, that they accused President Trump of driving forward with this policy because he's anti-Muslim. We do have to remind people there were only 6 or 7 countries on this list. They included North Korea and Venezuela, not Muslim countries, but also not on the president's list were countries like Indonesia, which has the largest Muslim population in the world. So how can you say the president was driven by an anti-Muslim bias when you have most of the Muslim countries in the world were not on these lists?
Mm-hmm.
It's simply
care.
Without merit.
Understand what I'm saying here. I don't care if it wasn't based on anti-Muslim bias. Doesn't matter.
According to the Constitution, it doesn't matter.
According to the Constitution, doesn't matter. It's the president's call. It's not a judge's call to decide, President Trump, what's your inner feelings? what's your motivation here? This is just it is wrong and unconstitutional for the federal court, for a federal judge, to overrule the president of the United States of America, duly elected by the people. He has the constitutional authority, as he should, because he's supposed to protect us. He's the commander in chief. He knows stuff this federal judge doesn't know. The federal judge comes in and says, you know what? I don't think you should do that because you're seeming like it's an anti-Muslim thing. And
I think.
Yeah. And by the way, 99% of all terrorist acts are committed by Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So how do you not profile?
Yes.
That situation.
You know, Tim, you made a really excellent point. By definition, the president has all the streams of intelligence, stuff that never makes the front page of the New York Times or the Washington Post.
Right.
He gets, whatever the most secret things are, the president knows them, which is why the Congress gives the president, whoever
right.
he is,
right.
Republican, wide, gives him wide discretion because that's his responsibility. The number one job of the president is to keep the nation safe
yes.
and secure. How can some federal judge out in San Francisco or Hawaii mm-hmm. decide to overrule the president in a matter of national security?
Well, they're not supposed to be able to, but unfortunately, half of our country seems like favors ignoring the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We're beginning to be a constitutional crisis, so to speak, because when you got federal judges and they're unchecked because they're not impeached, but half of our fellow Americans don't even want to follow the Constitution anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They want to. You know what I'm saying? That's a problem
mm-hmm.
that I don't know how it's ultimately resolved because you know when you're playing a ball game, if I can use that analogy. I got some good analogies going on today. Let's all acknowledge that.
Yeah.
You're playing a ball game, and you don't both agree on the rules mm-hmm. before you get out on the field,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have chaos.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So, the Democrats are going, no, we get 7. The Republicans get 4 downs, we get 7. Huh?
Right.
And Republicans are playing by the 4, and
yeah.
they're playing by
and
the 7.
And if we decide the Republicans have to go 20 yards instead of 10, we're going to do that too.
Yeah.
That's the kind of world we're living in right now. But anyway, we'll see what happens with that. We shall be back momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio. We've got Jan Markell coming up. We've got Dr. Alex McFarland coming up and more to discuss on AFR. Stay with us.
Friday.
Star Trek question. What powers the impulse drive?
Dilithium crystals?
My second cousin twice removed was on dilithium crystals. And every time when everybody's sitting around trying to have some peace and quiet, his arm would fly up in the air. You didn't know if he was trying to salute you or get somebody's attention.
Trivia Friday, 10 a.m. Central.
And two different times when he tried to say something, the garage door went up and down.
On American Family Radio.
Random.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. A couple of months ago, I told you about the Show Up Tour coming up to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon in September. And the Show Up Tour means all you got to do is show up to Washington, D.C., and we will take care of the rest. That is the Spiritual Heritage Tour in the fall, and we're almost sold out. You will love this tour if you've never been to our nation's capital. We're going to see it from a distinctively Christian perspective and a historically accurate perspective. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will be joining us to give talks all along the way. We're also going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate tour just preceding the Washington, D.C. tour if you want to do both. So for all the information on the September show-up tour, go to SpiritualHeritageTours.com. That's SpiritualHeritageTours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. People of faith across the nation are concerned about a California bill that would classify so-called gay conversion therapy as a fraudulent practice. Groups like Focus on the Family and the Southern Baptist Convention say the legislation could silence churches and target Christian bookstores.
It's just time for Christians all across America to just recognize that it's an attack on our faith.
Dr. Paul Champel is pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church in California's High Desert. He was a guest on my nationally syndicated talk radio show. California's LGBT caucus denies legislation will have any impact on Christians and will not lead to a Bible ban. But many, like Pastor Champel, are not convinced because there is no religious exemption written into the bill.
That's absolutely, in my opinion, where this is all going. It's going toward the Bible and ultimately towards the pulpits that preach the Bible. And that's why Christians had better wake up right now.
I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues here on AFR. Thanks for listening. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, and Dr. Ray Pritchard, and we've been discussing what's in the news, and it's a lot of important things going on in our country today, and quite frankly, around the world. Fred, what is the latest on the Kim Jong-un, North Korea, U.S., quote, negotiations, if that's what they're called?
President Trump was asked about that this morning in that half-hour interview he did with Fox and Friends, and he said that they're narrowing it down, the locations and the dates. So he wasn't ready to announce when this meeting was going to take place between himself and Kim Jong-un.
Oh, both, they're going to meet face-to-face.
They're going to meet face-to-face. And the president repeated this morning in this interview that he wants to meet. He's going in there with a good attitude, an open attitude. But if there's not a commitment for denuclearization, if North Korea does not make that commitment, he says, I'll get up and walk away. So
well,
that
I would think that's our that should be already, right? Wouldn't you think that should already be predetermined before you go meet?
Well, it should be. And let's be clear about this. President Trump has already accomplished more in the Korean crisis than President Bush or President Obama, because there was nothing but stalemate for all these years and saber rattling. and Trump comes to office, he upsets the apple cart. He doesn't follow the normal conventions. And now there is the actual prospect of peace on the Korean Peninsula for the first time in 70 years. You know, Tim, if that happens, he will be given, or at least should be given, the Nobel Peace Prize. And unlike Mr. Obama, he will actually have earned it. It's sort of miraculous how this has worked out. And I'm not saying that we should trust the North Koreans. We shouldn't. But the very fact they're talking about coming to the table is, that's a huge win for the White House.
Yeah, and I'm wondering how much Secretary of State nominee Mike Pompeo, how much he's done here.
He's paid them a visit. And don't forget, Kim Jong-un just had a visit to China.
Yeah.
Remember back 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we hear from the North Koreans, hey, we'd like to sit down and talk. I think the Chinese took President Trump's threats seriously. And they had a little meeting with Kim Jong-un and said, hey, listen, we're on your doorstep. We're worried about you. I think you should sit down with President Trump.
Yeah, and if in fact it works out, it almost seems like it's too good to be true.
Right.
So let's wait till it actually happens. But the president's talking openly about meetings, and the way these things work is everything's predetermined before you go into a meeting. So basically, it turns out to be signing a treaty or whatever and photo ops. I remember President Reagan and Gorbachev during the end of the Cold War. So, you know, let's pray that this does, in fact, happen. And I will say this, and then we can move on and introduce Jan here, that if President Trump, if, that's a big I and a big F, if President Trump is able to do as Ray just talked about, and Fred, what you discussed, able to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula, that is to say, Kim Jong-un gives up his nukes. And, you know, they'll work something out. Maybe he's got an eye on, I don't know why he would do that, except maybe he's got an eye on being helped financially their country because they're broke. However, if President Trump is able to do this, I think that scares the Democrats to death because... Now, they won't necessarily say this publicly because it sounds awful, but his numbers will shoot up, probably around 60, 65%, at least temporarily, job approval rating, and that will be the biggest national security achievement in the 21st century for our country.
Well, put this in perspective, Tim. You know, the Korean War never officially ended. They called a truce, right? And they had the 38th parallel, but there was never a peace treaty. So, in a sense, the Korean War has hostilities in terms of the marching of the armies. That ended back in the 1950s, but the war never ended. And if at the end of all of this, if the meeting actually comes off, I know you said big ifs, right? But if the meeting comes off, and if it's successful, and if there is actual peace on the Korean Peninsula... that would be the biggest. I mean, that'd be the biggest national security win for the U.S. Maybe in the last 40 or 50 years.
Oh, you'd go even back further than me. I was at least giving him credit,
right,
to the turn of the century. We want to welcome now Jan Markell. Jan's the host of the radio program Understanding the Times, heard each week weekend here on American Family Radio. Her ministry is called Olive Tree Ministries, and Jan joins us most Thursdays. And Jan, good morning to you.
Well, thank you for having me.
What do you think about what we're talking about here?
Well, you know, I've been pondering this and your comments as well, and my question back at you is, how do we trust the communists? I mean, they're taught to lie. They have only evil on their minds continually. They want world domination. They will say anything to
Jan,
get what
you
they
got,
want and then back down.
Yeah, at some point you got to believe in the best in people, and you know you got to change your attitude there and your way of thinking. And no, to answer your question seriously, oh, absolutely, you have to verify that they are doing what they're doing. And I think that North Koreans know, Kim Jong-un knows, that we're going to have to be able to verify, along with the Chinese, we're going to have to be able to verify. So, no, you can't trust them unless you can verify that they're actually – that's what's the problem in Iran, you know, with this Iran deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I understand your point. It's well taken, and I'm sure that will be you know, with all the surveillance now we got from the sky –
mm-hmm.
Well, you know, we know what Kim Jong Un, you know, if he has fried or baked chicken, you know, for dinner. So, anyway,
yeah, you're absolutely right. But the other angle too is he doesn't care about his people. He doesn't care if they get blown off into outer space. He just doesn't care. So, he's not going to be doing anything for any personal benefit to his people, let's put it that way.
Hey, Jan, Fred, talk about that story out of Germany where, because I want to ask Jan about anti-Semitism.
Yep, exactly. Oh. We all know anti-Semitism in Europe has been climbing dramatically in recent years, and it's directly proportional to the number of Muslims that have been coming into the European Union countries, including Germany. We've all heard about the attacks on Muslims against young German girls, et cetera, et cetera. Well, here's the latest. The headline is this: Germany's Jews advised not to wear skull caps amid recent anti-Semitic attacks. And these are leaders in the German Jewish community saying to protect themselves, you got to hide from the public that you're Jewish. So don't wear the skull caps in most of the public areas in Germany. Jan, when I heard this, I thought it was just so appalling. Nobody is telling Muslim women, don't wear your burqas. It's so you got to hide your Jewishness in Germany now. And this is in
this
order
official,
to stay
this
safe.
An official government?
No, this is Germany's Jewish leaders are advising the people. And it comes in the wake of the incident last week when this Arab gentleman was having an argument with a Jewish friend that you shouldn't be afraid to wear your skull caps in Germany. Everything's all right. So the Arab guy puts a skull cap on. He walks down a street with his Jewish friend with a skull cap on, and they get attacked.
Yep.
They get attacked. So there you have it. Anti-Semitism lives and is thriving in Europe right now.
Well, but here's the heartbreak of that, is that it seems to be the epicenter of this is Germany. And you go back just 70, 80 years. Look, I wasn't around to see the state of Germany in 1944-45 when the war ended, and there was nothing left of Germany. It's a lesson they should have learned. There are consequences when you target a certain people, and the world is going to become outraged. They haven't learned their lesson. They haven't. And why this is, it's probably because all of Europe and Germany included are now godless. The churches are being turned into mosques. Their thinking is upside down. They've got reprobate thinking, Romans 1, and to them, black is white, up is down, etc.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jan, let me ask you this related to that, and then Ray, I'd like you to comment on this too. But Jan, let's back up for just a minute. For those maybe who are new to Christian radio or new to Christianity, and they're wondering what anti-Semitism, what is that exactly? That is a disdain / hatred for Jews, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Now, of course, there are racial and ethnic biases and hatreds and bigotry all over the world, and there has been since the dawn of civilization or the dawn of time. So it's a sin problem in the heart of man. However,
that is right.
However, I want to ask you this specifically with the Jewish people. They're such a tiny percentage of the world's population. It doesn't really make sense to me on the surface why. Why the Jews in particular, do the Jews have a history of doing things to others that causes this to happen? What's going on here?
But the Jews represent how do I want to say this? The Jews are a particular target of Satan because Satan knows they represent their the people of God. Obviously, Christians are too, but in a little different way. But God created the Jewish people to be a blessing to the whole world. But look, Satan knows the Bible, and he knows that the Jews play such a key role, and particularly in the end of days, and particularly when Satan knows when Israel is rebirthed, 1948, sort of the end of the end times was kicked off in 1948, and that spells his demise. And if Satan could just get rid of the Jews, he thinks he could undo God's end time plan. Of course he can't, but he's deceived and deluded, and he thinks he can, but he's got to get rid of these pesky Jews and the nation of Israel. And then he's going to have a little bit of a better road ahead for him. Won't happen, but that's, I believe that's the way he's thinking.
Well, I agree with Jan 100%. But lest we get arrogant here in the United States that this is a German problem for Jews who live in Germany, there is not a week that goes by that our news service is not doing a story about rising anti-Semitism on our university campuses here in the
Absolutely.
United States. It is horrific what is going on. You know, you don't hear stories about anti-Muslim problems. You don't hear stories about anti-Sikh problems, but we get stories all the time about hatred displayed against Jews and the Israeli nations by universities, and in many cases, the big problem is university officials allow it. They don't step back.
Let me ask you about this, too, because what Jan and Fred are talking about here, what Jan is saying, and Fred said I agree, is this is a supernatural hatred for the Jews that almost defies logic. I mean, I understand if people hate somebody. Now, I'm not talking about the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, which you could say, well, they got their land, so they're mad, so they're going to fight about it. Okay, I don't agree with that premise necessarily, but I understand why people fight over land. All right, that's down to history too. But Ray, what Jan and Fred are talking about, and Jan introduced the idea that Satan, which is in the Bible, Satan is a real being. If you're not a Christian, you don't believe in the Bible, you can laugh at us if you want to. Go ahead, that's fine. But the Bible does say there is an evil being in the world, and his name is Satan or the devil. You know, that's what the Bible teaches. That's what Jesus believed. So I ask you, Ray, why is it that this anti-Semitism that Fred talked about on college campuses and so forth, a Jewish college, a junior college student, not a junior college student, a student who is a junior on a college campus somewhere USA, why is he a target for hatred, for bigotry?
Well, I think Jan put her finger on it. She's 100% correct. This is really a spiritual battle. Yes. We talk a lot about spiritual warfare, and sometimes we only talk about it in terms of our own personal struggles to walk with the Lord. But there are huge issues of spiritual warfare that involve men and nations and armies and the events leading up to the end times. She's exactly right. Satan hates the nation of Israel. And, you know, you can even go back and say, look, God made promises to Abraham, promises to Abraham and his descendants, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all the way down the tribes of Israel. Those promises have never been set aside. They've never been canceled. And there is an irrational hatred of the Jewish people because they hate that God made promises that that he will fulfill in these last days.
Amen. Amen. And there's one
go ahead, Fred.
One more thing I want to add. I believe one of the reasons that President Donald Trump is disliked / hated is because he's made good on his promise to move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. He has shown more support for the nation of Israel, not only in the case of moving the embassy, but in other areas. He has shown more support for the nation of Israel than any president in recent history. And I think that's
absolutely
one of the reasons
right.
he's hated.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. Yeah.
Oh, Jan, what's your program going to be about this weekend?
A little bit different angle, Tim. I've got a former homosexual, Stephen Bennett, who his burden is that the church, evangelical included, is caving to the gay agenda in every respect. And we even play a sound clip of Christian leaders, and your audience would know many of them by name, who are apologizing to the gay community because the church doesn't accept them. So that's our focus and our burden for the hour this coming weekend. And it's a warning because, once again, you know, the devil's making inroads into the most sacred places in very sneaky ways. And we're going to talk about how the gay agenda is, they call it the final frontier. The church, to them, to the gay agenda, is the final frontier. And they're beginning to win. It's very troubling.
All right, that's... 1 o'clock Saturday, 12 o'clock Sunday on AFR. That's Central Time.
Yes, it is.
And what's your website?
OliveTreeViews.org.
OliveTreeViews.org. Jan, thanks so much for being on with us.
Thanks for having me. Bye now.
Okay, that's our good friend Jan Markell joining us from Minnesota. I want to explore this. I know we want to get back to the news, but I'm fascinated by this. You study and teach the Bible, and so does Fred. Fred teaches, and you think that this anti-Semitism, which has always been around, has it not? I mean,
right.
I don't know how exactly you measure whether it's greater now than it ever was before. Hitler hated the Jews. Do you know the history there? Did he think that the Jews manipulated the currency?
He believed that they were in control of the currency, of the means of production, of the economy.
Okay.
And he hated them for what he saw as their control of everything in Germany. And he basically viewed them as less than human, the off-scouring of the human race.
Okay.
And to preserve Aryanism, they should be eliminated. And so he went all the way with
okay.
that.
Well, it goes back even further, too, and I know Ray knows this. After we get into the 3rd and 4th century of Christianity, there was a thinking began to evolve amongst Christians, and they referred to Jews as Jesus killers. They blamed the Jews for Jesus' death. Now, we know as Christians that Jesus is God. He came. He could have called 10,000 angels. It was part of God's plan for our salvation that Jesus die on the cross. But this sentiment began to build that the Jews were responsible for Jesus' death. And so you had groups of Christians that came against the Jews.
And may I add, that's before most Christians had access to the scriptures.
That is correct. You're exactly right.
So you could see how false teaching or that kind of thing would arise.
But it's carried forward. And to Ray's point about Hitler's attitude towards the Jews, that is still present today. You often see the Jews blamed their successful business people in this country. And so they get blamed if there's a downsizing of a company. There's the Jews again. They're being greedy, et cetera, et cetera. So it comes up everywhere that the Jews are to blame for anything bad that happens. Their success somehow is because of their greed. No, their success, I believe, is because God has blessed them.
Ray, how do you explain, and we may not be able to, but there's this, what you call, I guess, secular Jews, and then I guess you could call them committed Jews. But right. the for example, a lot of the politicians here in the U.S., several of them, especially like Nancy Pelosi, et cetera, some of the Supreme Court justices, they're what we would call secular Jews, and that is—
Pelosi's Catholic.
Catholic.
She's a secular Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excuse me, friend. I just wanted to set the
record. Okay, yeah. Well, any of the secular
Feinstein,
Jews.
Feinstein, that's maybe who you're thinking about.
Yeah, yeah. Feinstein. But some of the powerful people, but they don't really obey their teachings. Explain why that is, Ray.
Well, a long time ago, several centuries ago, a lot of the Jewish people, I'm not saying the Jewish leaders, but Jewish people turned to secularism as the best way to understand life. And so in Israel today, you have a lot of the Jews who are not observant. I mean, we see the Orthodox Jews who pray at the Western Wall, and we think that that represents all the Jews in Israel. Actually, it doesn't. That people say the majority of the Jews in Israel don't really practice their religion in any serious way. And they say that also about a lot of the Jewish people here in America. So in one sense, Walker, once you turn away from your own revelation, the Torah, what we call the Old Testament, once you turn away from that and turn away from your own traditions, what's left but a secular view of life?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Ray's exactly right. One of the most hurtful things, stories that we've done, they have gay pride parades in Tel Aviv. They have gay pride parades in Jerusalem. And that's to Ray's point. There is still a segment of the Jewish people that are very secular, and they have liberal views just like Gentiles do in many of these cases. But it's heartbreaking to hear about a gay pride parade in Jerusalem. It must break God's heart.
Yeah, I was thinking about Atlanta Kagan on the Supreme Court, Stephen Breyer and Ruth Bader Ginsburg are all Jews. And you can see their rulings are not
They're all liberal.
Mm-hmm. Well, isn't it true that the Jewish vote in the in America has gone Democrat for many years?
Yeah, inexplicably, really. If you look at positions that the parties have held, especially as it relates to the country of Israel. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Walker, how can folks watch the show if they want to?
Well, folks can watch two different ways. You can first go to Facebook and watch the show there. We live stream each Monday through Friday, 10 to 11:30 Central on Facebook. Or if you're not familiar with Facebook, you can always go to YouTube and watch live video stream of the show on YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues Live and watch the show. Multiple ways to keep up with the show. And, of course, you can always visit AFR.net to listen to past shows.
All right. Walker just told you, American Family Radio. What else you got, Fred?
Let's wrap up this hour with a Senator Bernie Sanders story. Senator Bernie Sanders, the independent from Vermont. He's out with a new plan to give jobs for everybody. Guaranteed jobs. It would guarantee a job to any American who wants or needs one. So we're going to pay you to go out, and we'll assign you some work out there, but we're going to guarantee jobs. Wants or needs one? Whether you want a job, we're going to guarantee it. Whether you need a job, we're going to guarantee it. Now, Bernie Sanders for the Democrats, he kind of caucuses with the Democrats sometimes. Of course, he ran for the presidential race against Hillary. Even the Democrats are kind of regarding Bernie Sanders as the uncle that's kind of embarrassing, because Democrat Senator Dick Durbin responded to this yesterday. He says, I'm anxious for Bernie. I'm quoting here. I'm anxious for Bernie to show me how it's going to be done. And some other Democrat senators, how are you going to pay for this? So there you have Democrats who normally job creation programs, like Senator Cory Booker in New Jersey, he's come up with his own too. But here's Senator Durbin and some others saying, you know, Bernie, we really like you to be quiet, because this is the kind of thing that drives even moderate voters away. When you start saying you got a program, you're going to guarantee jobs for every American.
Bernie Sanders, but his way of thinking is represented by a majority of the Democratic Party.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, the broad thinking.
They just might not say it.
Yes.
Yeah, they just might not say it. But you think our we have a spending problem with Republicans in office, which we do. You put Bernie Sanders in charge of things.
Well, you don't forget about free college education.
We'll throw that in, too.
It's free, free everything for everybody.
Right.
And the way you get that is you tax people 95% and or
print money.
Or you print money.
Print money, right.
Santa Claus Bernie. All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes with more of Today's Issues.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.